It is September 24th, 2022, 1449 hours, Ward Green here. And, I cut my own hair a few days ago. Been meaning to take the hat off, but it's always been too cold in here, or something was preventing me. I've finally moved my air conditioners out. Actually, haven't moved them very far. One of them, I've just disconnected the windows and moved the ductwork away into another room for both of them. And then I rotated this one here and removed the duct diffuser from it, so I could see the oven again now. So I could see what's boiling there and that kind of thing. Well, that'll be good. But the windows are now fully shut, which is a good thing for when the high winds come. We didn't get any really high winds this summer, fortunately, because it would have possibly torn the windows off the house. So that was one thing that was amazing. But what I find is when I'm always praying about or thinking about Jehovah, praying to Jehovah and trying to remain in God's love, you know, which is something we can all do. And God loves all of us, little children, and God is... I love you, little children, but God loves us all. And the thing is, He doesn't... It's very easy to get forgiveness if we repent. It's very easy. All we need to do is repent and be sorry for what we've done. And Jesus is the one through whom we gain salvation and forgiveness. So... But we can say anything we want against Jesus. That's another thing. We can say the worst possible things about Jesus and against Jesus, as long as they're not done, you know, with full knowledge of the implications of what we're saying. We can still repent, you know, and be forgiven. And that was something that Jesus said. It doesn't matter what you say against Him. You can still get repentance. It will be forgiven, you know, that's the thing. So today's the day for Proverbs 24, but I had a few things I wanted to talk about besides that. Definitely, I mean, the iPhone review today, after 1 week, iPhone 14 after 1 week, the honest review at Max Tech is a wonderful, I mean, it's very balanced and detailed. It's a pretty great review actually. But I also like John Prosser's review of the iPhone 15, which isn't released, or it's probably in the works, but it's not released yet. So it'll be a while before that comes out. But his review was saying not to buy the iPhone 14. His review before that one, too. He said, don't buy it. Don't buy the iPhone 14. So, I don't think that... The thing is, the problem is we buy these phones, some of us anyway, as a camera. And not only as a camera, but the iPhone camera, for example, we buy it as a system... an interfaceable device that we can interface with our other Apple devices, so like our iPads and our Macs, and you know, our computers for our desktop. That's what the Mac is. And if somebody doesn't know, I'm going to tell you right now, for people who are not in the Apple ecosystem, who don't know about Apple products yet, I'm going to explain this to you very clearly, which no one ever seems to mention. Something very important that you need to know is that the Apple operating system for the mobile devices, which is called iOS, is only available on the Apple devices. So you can't run that operating system on any other manufacturer's devices. That's why it's called the Apple ecosystem, because when you buy a device that's made by Apple, you can buy another device made by Apple, and you can do what's called, AirDrop. Yeah, I was going to say a hot drop. It's AirDrop. You can do AirDrop to transfer files between them. And that's something Apple invented, basically. But there are a lot of features in the Apple ecosystem, I guess we'll keep calling it, that make it useful to have more than one device in the Apple ecosystem because they can interface with each other. The Apple Watch, for example, you must have an iPhone. You must have an Apple phone. In other words, because iPhone is made by Apple. And iPhone runs the iOS operating system. iPad runs iPad OS operating system, which used to be called, probably just used to be called iOS, but then they changed the name for iPad to iPad OS. So, but these iPad OS and iOS are Apple exclusive operating systems. They only run on Apple devices. And you need to know that if you're getting into this, because you might be reading reviews about iOS and how good it is, or, and if you buy a device that's not made by Apple, you won't be able to run that operating system anyway. So you need to know that. Not everyone's going to tell you that because they think you know already. So if you don't know that, you need to know that. And it's because Apple's systems are proprietary, and they just don't want anyone else, so far anyway, they are, and they don't want anyone else using their operating systems. So Mac OS is another operating system that Apple has for their Macs. And it's proprietary, and no other computers can run Mac OS. So that's true for all of Apple's software. All their software can only run on Apple computers. I mean, that's the way Apple does things. It's proprietary, and, well, we shouldn't say that we know why Apple does that. I think it's because, I mean, I know I have my little belief system or whatever, you know, that I kind of believe that that Apple is, by the way, these reviews I mentioned were on YouTube, but the John Prosser review and the Max Tech review by Vadim. What I was saying was I have my little pet theories or something about why Apple does what they do, but I think it's mainly just, it's the same reason why I don't have the ability to, I mean, I think the reason Apple does it is like I was going to say, it's I can't compare myself to Apple, obviously. I'm just saying, my ideas don't, my theories don't run on other people's brains either. Like, it's the same idea in that sense. You know, you can't run my theory the same way that I do, because my hardware is different in the brain than yours is, so you can't run my software. There's that idea. And that's one reason. It's just that, you know, but if Apple were to license the software, then people they'd have to be given the permission to build the hardware that was compatible with Apple too. And the danger with that is Apple could be subject to some competition that they don't want to have with some of these very innovative Chinese companies might be able to produce things cheaper than Apple can. And but I don't doubt they could, because Apple charges quite a premium for their products. I think Apple wants to keep it that way. They want to keep earning money. That's the way they do that. But I'm sure that's not the only reason. It's just, it's much better, it's easier to run a tight ship in a way where you don't want all your secrets to be known by everybody. Partly because you can then work on things. You're not exposing yourself to their ideas. If Apple were to release their products to other people and allow them to run their software on other computers, then Apple would be Apple would have to have a more intimate relationship with these other companies. And for Apple to do that, Apple would lose their, it's that principle, bad associations spoil useful habits. It corrupts them. So it would corrupt Apple's purity. Like, Apple's a very environmentally conscious company. That would be corrupted if they interacted with people who weren't as environmentally conscious. All these other things that Apple does that they do so well would be contaminated when they interact with these people who are outside by having some licensing agreement with them. That's enough. I mean, even that alone would corrupt them. And that's what is probably the main reason, in my opinion anyway, of why Apple holds everything close to their chest, and they do everything internally, and then they release to the public, but they do everything internally. They don't have these outside relationships, although they have had in the past agreements with Microsoft and people like that. I mean, that they have had some of that, of course, but they don't generally have much going on like that for the reason I just said, or they're not a wide open, you know, free market public domain type of company at all. It's very proprietary, the opposite. So if you're getting into the Apple ecosystem, you need to know that you're gonna probably be either all in, or you're not gonna want to be in it at all. It's, although you could have an iPhone and nothing else, I suppose it's possible. You know, that would be the thing. Or even an iPad and nothing else. You don't have to have everything if you have that. But you know, if you've got, I mean, I've got a Mac. That reminds me, I was gonna run my. I'm gonna get my iPad and check something out. I mean, the Apple devices are standalone devices. I mean, you can use them alone. I'm not saying that, but if you have a whole lot, if you have a lot of devices, like if you're the person, a person who has an iPad and, or if you're a person who has any phone, a phone camera and a camera phone, I guess, what do they call them, phone cameras or camera phones? Both, but I mean, a camera phone. Yeah, if you're a person who has a camera phone and an iPad and a computer, then you should consider Apple as an all-in-one type of system where you have all devices that are in the same ecosystem, possibly. You know, consider that option. Now, if I plug in... Oh, I can't unplug the... Yes, I can. I need to plug this in. Can't do it. I want to know what the battery life is like. Okay, I guess I'll unplug this. This is going to be the... That's the right plug. It won't hurt to unplug this. I think this is just my power. I want to plug my power into my iPad to see if I can get some information using coconut battery. Because I think it's very, 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 very interesting. Where are you, coconut battery? There you are. Okay. See what we got. There it is. It pops up on any old screen that I was using last, I guess. It doesn't go where I am. Okay, so here it is. iOS device, iPad. Yeah, it's 8557 is the design capacity of the battery. This is nuts. What? That's crazy. I currently have more capacity than is the design capacity. It's a brand new device. It's got more than what it was designed for. It has 8557 milliamp hours design capacity, which is that's documented online. I knew that number because I've seen it all. I looked it up already and I saw it this morning. So I know this is the correct number. 8557. I saw that on a website somewhere. That's the design capacity in milliamp hours. But my iPad currently has 8811 milliamp hours. So go figure, that's more than 100%. Right? But then its internal capacity is, the full charge capacity currently is 8893, so it's only at 99.1% of full capacity, even though it says it's at 100. But that's amazing. And the number of charge cycles, the cycle count is zero. This device has been charged zero times. So when my phone had its cycle count at one, that might mean that it's been charged once before, because it's a two-year-old battery. That might be what that means. On this device, I need to turn it off now, because I don't use the iPad during the day unless I need to. So I'm going to turn it off, and that will conserve battery power. I love iOS 15. This is 0.6.1, actually. 15.6.1 is the iPad OS that it came with. I've upgraded my iPad, my old one, and my iPhone up to 15.5 now. But when you get to that version 15, anyway, 15 and a half, when you get to that version, it shuts off quicker. I think it boots a little quicker, but it shuts off faster. And I like that a lot. So there's features about version 15.5 that is better. I'm not saying it's better. I don't believe all the Apple features are better than the Android phones. I don't believe that at all. I think it's very likely that they're not better in every way. You know, it's just that there's things about the Apple, like the Apple support is legendary. They have features that you won't discover until years later, and then you realize you're very glad you went with Apple because they have great features. Like they'll keep selling the same model of device for many years, it seems like. Well, this is Generation 9 iPad, but It's basically, it's not really that different from my old iPad. And it's been upgraded, but the camera's upgraded and so on, but it's really not a lot of changes that have been made. Now, only Apple could do that and get away with it because only Apple produces such great products that they can keep the same product 6 years later and produce it again and call it a new name or a new generation and upgrade some parts of it, you know, and not have to upgrade all of it. Apple's the only company that can get away with that because they build such quality. So it's something to think about if you're thinking about getting into the Apple system, ecosystem. But that I paid $400 for. It was $430 on the Apple website, but I bought it on Amazon, so I saved $30. And I got the lowest memory upgrade, which is 64 gigs, compared to... There were two options, 64 and 256, I think, were the two options. But the 256 option was... I think it had some other... Yeah, it may have been... That may not be available with Wi-Fi only, or maybe it is. I think it is. Maybe it is. But I'm not sure. But there was one option that was... If I upgrade the memory, it was $600 or something. So it was just not... there's no comparison between the price, you know. So unless you need a lot of internal memory for a lot of movies, like long movies or a lot of movies all at once that you need to store on your device, then there's no advantage in really buying 256 gigabytes. But, I mean, it's always an advantage, but only if you're going to store a lot of things in there. Or maybe you're going to store... photos, or maybe you're going to put photos don't take as much as movies, or maybe you want to store apps. Maybe you have a lot of apps that you run, or a lot of databases that you need to store. In that case, you might need more. But you can, I mean, 600 seemed. See, what I paid for my original iPad 6 years ago was about $600. That was about $600, if I recall correctly, and it was a lot less than the $1,000 or so I spent on my iPhone 6S back then. And the reason I bought those, I want to talk about that. I needed a phone because they didn't accept... They basically forced me to buy a phone when Ann went into the seniors long-term care facility, whatever you want to call it, the retirement home. When she had to go into that because she had been in the hospital and they weren't going to send her home with me because... And I didn't want them to anyway, but they... But they didn't even ask me first what I wanted, you know. They didn't give me an option. I knew that I couldn't look after her anymore because I needed a break, for one thing. But she went when they put her in the old folks' home or the retirement home. They forced me to buy a phone, like a cell phone. They literally forced me to buy it. They wouldn't accept. They didn't. I don't know what they would have done if I'd said no. I don't think they could have done anything, but they insisted that they needed to be able to call me at any moment if Ann were going into the hospital or anything like that. They insisted on me having a cell phone. And up to that point, I'd resisted having a cell phone for whatever reason. I just didn't need it. Still don't really need it. I don't believe in having a phone on me when I walk around. Why would I have a phone on me? When I'm out and about, that's a distraction to me. That could affect my survival by actually being distracted, rather than just being able to, you know, phone for emergency services and stuff like that, or the new emergency features that Apple's built into their new phones and things like that. It's also a distraction having a phone that can cost you your life because you're distracted by the phone. So, I mean, it's not just as simple as people are making it out to be. These people who are deep into technology are not as smart or wise as they appear to be. But, I mean, I don't mind having a phone. I'll carry it with me, and it'll be off. It'll be turned off when I'm carrying it. And if I need it, I can turn it on. Now that I have one anyway, but... So I resisted buying a phone, but when they made me buy a phone, I went into the place to buy the phone, and I found out what Apple produced, that they made this iPhone, and I was making movies at the time. So when I found out I could get a new movie camera that would do what this camera does, you know, which is basically 4K video. But, I mean, I'm never going to use the 4K probably because it makes files that are too big. But I might, I suppose. But but you can also buy iDisk devices that you plug in to the Lightning port that will expand your storage. You can expand it quite a lot with these iDisk devices. I'm not sure how they work. I think they have to store the movie on the internal drive first and then transfer it, maybe? Because it wouldn't be fast enough. I couldn't write the video, you know, otherwise, right? So maybe I could do 4K movies, right? I just have to keep them shorter. They take up way too much storage. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Technology, in some respects, marches slowly. And they haven't really caught up in the transfer speeds yet for a lot of this technology. So there's no advantage in having large files. Certainly not. There never was, but there's certainly, or in having high quality videos, it's that's like saying you're having large files. So there's not really an advantage in high quality video as far as storage goes. It's the worst situation for that. So I went in there, right, and I found out they had this great camera in the iPhone, so and I could get it for $1,000, and I only had to pay so much per month. So to me, that was, I guess, I didn't even realize I'd only be paying so much a month. I don't know what I thought. Back then, I had quite a bit of cash. Because Anne was still alive, and she made earning every month that she was alive. I got a lot of money every month for the, for the annuities that she owned at that time. She had life annuities. As long as she lived, every month there were like $1,000 probably, something like that, but maybe even a little more. She had like a $600 annuity, $400 annuity, and maybe another. It was more like $1,500 a month or something. I don't know. I forget the numbers. I never looked at the numbers or added them up. Back then, she did all the finances, but I may have had $1,500 a month from her annuities, and that was a lot of money. So back then, when she passed, of course, that money stopped. But this money was useful for me to buy things. Obviously, I could afford a phone. And then at the same time, I thought, well, I don't know how we got onto the iPad. Maybe I asked, or maybe I doubt that he was trying to sell it to me. It was just like I think it was the Radio Shack that I went to. The iSource, or whatever that's called. It used to be called Radio Shack. Tandy, you know. That might have been where I went. I'm trying to say. No, I don't think it was. It was a phone store where they sold a lot of phones and things, and iPads and things. So it wasn't Bell. It wasn't the Bell store. It was something else. And he was a college student that was selling me these things. So I ended up thinking, well, I need another camera. So I wanted the iPad for a second camera that I could include in my movies. So at that time, I wanted multicam movies, but I don't really want that right now because it's too complicated and all the editing, the time it takes to edit. And then if you can edit, nobody knows if you're real, if you can really make a video live, you know. So I now I like the live videos. But back then, I was very interested in multicam, so I wanted an iPad. And also, I think I realized the advantages of iPad as far as the incredible abilities you have with iPad to... to watch, videos and so on. I think I realized that. Probably. I don't know how I would have even known about it, because I don't know if I knew anyone who had one at that point or not. I don't think I knew anyone who had one. Yeah, I'm not sure why. I can't remember the details, but that may come back to me. I think it may. But so I bought the iPad and the iPhone, and they were pretty powerful. But they were, you know, it was confusing technology. I was worried about losing my phone and stuff like that, of course, you know. One time I thought I lost my phone, and I went down to report it at the retirement home. And I was so distracted by all the things going on with Ann and everything, just my worries about Ann and everything that was my hectic daily schedule, having to commute back and forth to see Ann. But I thought I'd lost my phone, I think it was. And it was sitting upstairs. I was charging it in the room, in Ann's room. Forgot where I was charged. It was in a slightly, you know, on the ledge near the window. I was charging it, and I couldn't find my phone in my pocket. But I was so, my memory was so, my short-term memory was so full of other things that I couldn't remember that. And then, I did remember. I went back up and checked and found it. I didn't even remember while I was telling them I lost my phone. I didn't remember until I got back to the room, and then I found the phone, if I recall correctly now. Then I was so relieved to find my phone. So, but it wasn't just my phone. Everything that I owned, I was in danger of losing it. And for several years, even recently, up until very recently, I've been in danger of losing every single item that I own just by laying it down somewhere. I mean, not forever lose it, but I'm in danger of losing it, losing track of where it is. I was. And then recently I've started to get my memory back again about where I'm keeping things short-term. The short-term memory is coming back just because the trauma is sufficiently low now. This, I guess it's post-traumatic stress, but it's not post-traumatic. It's traumatic. It's the trauma. It's survival mode or something where you're under a lot of duress or stress, or you know, or you don't have any space in your short-term memory to store these things, okay? Because your short-term memory is completely filled with information about survival, information about survival needs and survival facts and survival essentials, that things you need to remember so you can survive. Because you're aware of your survival being in danger, you know, and that's the kind of thing. By the way, my teeth were hurting me last night, or, you know, I mean, not while I slept. I just mean, when I went to bed and when I woke up, there's some pain here again. It's less than what it was after immediately following the crown installation, but more than what it was, you know, like the day before, or when I went to see my dental, have my cleaning. My dental cleaning and checkup, which was very nice, but I had no pain that day particularly. It was much better. But, I mean, so each day, whether I chewed too much on it last night or whether it's just going to be up and down as it heals, I don't, you know, it's hard to say right now. But after I ate, I don't feel any problem. It's better, actually, after I ate, which is curious. So maybe I needed more calcium, too. Maybe it's a calcium that needs to get in there to heal it. I mean, because I ate dairy this morning after my... I made bean dish again, but I made a mistake in a way. I made the bean dish with peas instead of with niblets, but I had no more niblets, so I put the can of peas in there. It's not as good with peas as it was with niblets. It was absolutely fantastic with niblets. So next, I want to buy more niblets so I can make bean dish. It's like Indian corn stew. Anne used to make Indian corn stew. We loved that. You'd put... cornmeal in it, was it? What was it we put in? I think it was cornmeal or something like that. It was something you put in and it would swell up and make a kind of cornmeal muff. What do we call it? Cornmeal mush. Yeah, I think it was cornmeal mush. I think it was. We call it Indian corn stew with cornmeal mush, and we'd have you put a certain hot spice in there, something, some kind of a hot spice, whether it was Tabasco or forget, or Worcester sauce, I think. Yeah, Worcester sauce you use for that. That's right. And you put the tomatoes and the corn niblets of corn as well, and beef. It's basically like spaghetti sauce, but it's, you know, it's got the corn niblets and some Worcester sauce and that kind of thing. Yeah, and then you put the cornmeal mush in there. Yeah, I remembered that recipe just now almost, but I think there's probably some things I'm possibly forgetting anyway. in that recipe that make it different from spaghetti sauce, but it could, you could make it sort of similar to spaghetti sauce, just basically tomato sauce. Oh, I know, it's the spice. The spice would be, it may be, maybe you use a different spice for Indian corn stew than you do for spaghetti sauce. You might not use Italian spice, for example. You probably use something else. And chili often has basil is a good spice for chili. And I could have added basil to my chili too, for that matter, but I didn't. Didn't have to. So, I got off track there. But so I ate dairy this morning in the yogurt and pineapple. But I haven't had my matcha tea yet. And I had, but after I ate, I had the craving for sweets again. So I had the xylitol gum. That's my way of doing it, and it just completely satisfies all the needs of, and it. Apparently, it kills all the bad bacteria or the dental bacteria. That oral bacteria in the mouth are dead, and there's no possibility of any tooth decay because xylitol is not a sugar that feeds bacteria anyway. It doesn't feed the cavities. It doesn't cause cavities. It creates wonderful dental health apparently. And then erythritol, which I've never tried yet. I'm going to order some when I can afford it. Erythritol is supposed to be even better than xylitol for oral health, but it's not as good for the, like I said, for the gut bacteria. So I'll probably try the erythritol for something, but I won't try it for oral health particularly because xylitol is better for the gut. Once it gets down there, I mean, what am I going to try the erythritol for? I'm trying to think. Well, for taking it with vitamin C, yeah, taking it with vitamin C, I think I'll try erythritol because it doesn't cause diarrhea. I was going to say vomiting, but no, they don't cause vomiting. They cause diarrhea. I mean, xylitol causes diarrhea, yeah, but only if you take it in large amounts. Like, and it can cause liver failure in dogs. I'm not sure about humans, but I get. But that's when they eat, like a small dog, like a Chihuahua, ate half a pound of xylitol or something, and he nearly died, but he did recover. So. It doesn't mean it's safe for humans, certainly. It just means that it may not be fatal. And it's and we don't eat that much proportional to our weight. We eat a lot less than that. But I think 30 or 40 grams might cause diarrhea in humans if you eat that much xylitol. But that's maybe because it produces the short-chain fatty acids or something. I'm not sure. But no, it causes water to enter the bowel. That's it. Yeah. It causes water to enter the bowel, whereas erythritol does not do that. That's right. That I read that yesterday. So erythritol will not cause diarrhea. That's a great thing about erythritol. And as far as we know, it's very, very safe as far as, you know, that's up till now. I'm going to be really watching this about because erythritol, that could be the cure for, or xylitol for that matter, could be the cure for diabetes. That combined with erythritol in different amounts or whatever, just because you don't need real sugar. You don't need the 6-carbon sugar. You don't need the standard sugar, the processed bad sugar. You don't need that because you have these sugars. They're sugar alcohols. They're not sugars. So this could easily be the cure for diabetes, easily. There's lots of things that you need to do with diabetes to avoid, and that is you avoid eating. And when you eat sweets, even if you eat a non-sugar sweetener, though, it can increase your appetite. That's something that they've noticed. So you don't really want to eat sweeteners if you don't have to. But avoiding sugar is incredibly beneficial because these sugars don't spike your... Like, erythritol spikes your blood sugar almost none. I mean, nothing. It's almost zero spike. Xylitol spikes it much, much less, like 10 times less than sugar. Or more, maybe it's 100 times less, I forget the number. Xylitol spikes your blood sugar far less than regular sugar, 6 carbons, which is regular sugar. Xylitol and erythritol, which are 5-carbon sugars, spike it much less, but erythritol spikes it far less than xylitol even. So erythritol, you can eat it in massive quantities. You won't get diarrhea. It won't spike your blood sugar. It has no adverse effects that really significant that we know about. Anyway, I don't think it has any known significant effects. I'm trying to think, but I'll research it again, and we'll have to keep researching it. But erythritol looks like it's the real cure for diabetes if you substitute that for 6-carbon sugar. Now, people are not going to necessarily accept that because they like their sugar or whatever. You know, I don't know. And also, everyone's different. The same solution may not work for everybody. With, you know, everybody's DNA is different. For everybody in, or their, everyone's, you know, dietary needs for what foods they have an affinity for that they enjoy might be different, and be just because of DNA. But the thing is, everybody wants to find a cure for certain diseases, but they don't want to actually do any work, right? They don't want to actually, they just want to take a pill that cures their disease, which is just, it's never going to happen, okay? I can tell you that right now, because if you want to take something that's not a food, that will never solve any problems. It will just create 100 new problems. That's all it does. It doesn't solve the old problems at all. If it solves one symptom, it takes away one symptom, it creates all sorts of new problems that you may not be aware of right away either. But there's no possible way. And anyway, you don't want to remove a symptom. You need to know. I mean, there's no advantage in removing one symptom, even if that symptom happens to be pain. That's not an advantage to remove that symptom, because then you don't know whether you have the pain or not. You don't know. Your brain can't do any proper work if it doesn't know there's a pain. Yeah, I mean, the body can't heal itself properly if you're messing with it. You don't know anything about what you should do nutritionally or food-wise, or, you know. I mean, there's a million reasons. It's just, I mean, people want to do it because they like things complicated, or because they like freedom and they like to be able to eat what they want. They like to be able to eat things that are not food. But if you really want to have any hope of figuring out your own body, you need to stop eating anything unless it's food. Stop everything except for food, and then you can start figuring out how the food works in your body. Then you can, and that's, even that is not easy. That's still, let's be clear, I'm not saying that curing something is easy. It's difficult, but you can't do it with drugs. Or if you can, it's infinitely more, not a million times more complex or harder. It's not a billion times harder. It's not a trillion times harder. It's infinitely harder to cure a disease if you're taking drugs. Drugs don't cure disease. That's not what they do. I mean, you know, antibiotics doesn't cure disease. It kills all your bacteria, all the good bacteria and the bad bacteria, and then you have to take probiotics and so on. Antibiotics is not the same as vitamin C, which is, vitamin C boosts your immune system, doesn't kill your bacteria. And it's a very safe vitamin. You could take hundreds of grams of it per day, and it doesn't hurt you or do any harm, except, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say it's not harmful. It will cause diarrhea. That doesn't harm you, but it causes diarrhea, so you stop eating it at that point, because you've got enough. If it causes diarrhea, then you've got enough vitamin C. You've cured everything, because if there's any infection, the vitamin C will not cause diarrhea, because it's being used to fight the infection. So, vitamin C is a completely safe way to heal infection. You don't need antibiotics. You don't need any of that. Yeah, and I don't buy these people who claim to know what vitamin C does, and yet they've never tried it, or they've never tried the dosage that is required, which is multi-gram quantities. For, you know, I mean, 2 grams every 20 minutes. Until the infection's gone for an adult, and maybe less proportional to weight if you're younger. If you're a child or an infant, vitamin C is possible to be taken quite young as well, but you'd do it proportional to body weight. And you might not be able to do it every 20 minutes, maybe, you know, for example, for an infant. So where am I looking? Oh yeah, I'm looking at the, looking at, okay. Right. Ah, I see why. You know what? Yeah. That's okay. If I flip my camera then around, I could have my camera on the same side as where I'm reading, but then the video would be upside down and I'd have to flip it. You can give I don't know how young you can go with vitamin C. Not sure, but I don't think it's... I don't know of any age limit like you, under which you cannot give it. I never heard of that. So it's possible you can give vitamin C right down to the youngest. But you would have to research that very carefully. And it's not known by the conventional practitioners. So the whole problem with the conventional practitioners of medicine is you can't believe anything they say because they don't know anything. First of all, no one knows anything anyway. But they don't know anything about vitamins and how vitamin C works. They know nothing about it because they're on board with the drug companies who've decided that vitamin C doesn't work in their minds. They claim it doesn't work. They're just feeding us propaganda, or trying to. I don't listen to it. They're trying to feed us propaganda about what vitamin C does or doesn't do. And they know nothing, because if you talk to a vitamin C doctor who uses vitamin C instead of antibiotics, you get the correct answers about what vitamin C really does, because they treat their patients with vitamin C. So this nonsense propaganda is evil coming from the drug companies who want to sell drugs. That's what that's all about. And I don't believe antibiotics will ever be needed, ever, in the fighting of infection for anyone, including me. That's what I believe. But that's just... that's not going to be accepted by anybody who's on the side of the drug companies or who's hooked on drugs, or, you know, who... Even people who eat sugar are, in a way, they're addicted to drugs, because sugar is a drug. It's not a food, because it's not a natural substance, and you're putting it in your body, and your body's being abused by it. That's what sugar is. But it's a very dangerous thing. I mean, it's just very harmful, inflammatory. Oh, I still have a lot to learn, too, about sugar, but I'm never going to change that viewpoint about sugar being bad for us, because I know enough now to know that. But xylitol is a sugar alcohol, like erythritol. Those are not anywhere near... They're the opposite. They're virtually the opposite of sugar. They're good for you instead of bad for you. That's the difference. But there might be a limit to how much you can eat, but, you know, before you get... But, I mean, what the side effects of diarrhea, that won't kill you. You know, maybe if you eat 100 pounds of it, you die or something. I don't know. It's whatever it is. But you're not gonna do that. If you drink five quarts of water, you die. So, I mean, it really is not a highly toxic substance, probably. But I'm going to research more into the xylitol, because it looks to me that's the cure for a lot of these people who need some sweetener. I need sweeteners. I don't know why I do, but I do. So maybe it's because I'm still addicted to sugar, and that will pass. But when you eat sugar, it spikes your blood sugar. But when you eat, natural sugar, it spikes your blood sugar, and that triggers all sorts of processes that tell you to eat more. And so that's why diabetes happens. Diabetes, we understand what causes it. Dr. Jamnadas is a cardiologist. He knows that heart problems are preceded by this diabetes. It's all part of the same disease of eating too much and eating sugar, and fasting is also the cure for diabetes, is fasting. What do you call that? Short-term fasting, or what do we call that again? Multi-day. Water only fasts for like 3 days is a long, long-term fast compared to, what's it called? Is it long-term? Prolonged, maybe, yeah. I think it's called prolonged. Yeah, it's intermittent versus prolonged. It's intermittent fasting, I think. But if it's longer, intermittent fasting might just be like 18 hours and then eat for 6 hours. But prolonged fasting would be more than a day or more than 2 days or whatever it is. What is a prolonged fast? I mean, you can define it, 2 days or more. You can define it different ways, though, so... But prolonged fasting is water only for 2 days. You know, maybe a little salt in the water. But water only for 2 days is prolonged fasting. So that's the cure for diabetes, too. Prolonged fasting, because that resets all of your insulin systems, and you won't spike your blood sugar the next time you eat. So it resets everything. So for diabetics, that is another thing they need to learn to do is, and it's not easy. I can't, right now, I can't do it currently, but I was able to do it for 3 days, and I lost quite a few pounds there that time. What did I lose? Well, I did it for 3 days, and then later I had another fast for 5 days and so on. 5 days was the longest I think I had. But if you get dizzy, and you know, that could be, you need to drink more water to increase your blood pressure, because your blood pressure could be too low. But you need to get some help, advice, some help from someone who's experienced in helping people do it. Possibly. That's the answer for some of these people who need to do it, who need to fast. And people who learn how to do this fasting, they keep doing it too. They don't, at least that's what Dr. Jamnadas says. They keep doing it. I'm not keeping doing it. I'm going back to eating every day now, right, for now. But eventually I may switch over to eating once a day like some people do, and just eating in that time period for one time period per day when I eat for 6 hours or whatever it is, or, you know, 4 hours. And you don't have to eat as much because your stomach shrinks and gets smaller. But you also have to eat quality food. Everything you put in your stomach has to be quality. That's another reason why you can't put drugs in. There's no room in your stomach for anything that is not food, because, and I mean, why would anybody tamper with your body by putting something in it that's not food? That just shows a vast ignorance, a great ignorance of what your body really does, how your body reacts to substances. It treats everything as food. Your body wants, it doesn't know anything else other than food. So it wants to believe it's food. If you put something into your stomach, it thinks, or into your, anywhere, but in your stomach mainly, we're talking about. We're not talking about injecting things. But your body would try to process things that were injected as though they were nutrients also. It doesn't know anything else. But if you put things into your stomach, and don't inject anything, by the way, I'm just saying, if you put things into your stomach by eating it, which is the way that most people would take drugs, you shouldn't do that, because if it's not a food, your body will begin a bunch of processes based on the assumption it's food, and those processes won't be correct if it's not food. It will be doing the wrong thing. You're not the master of your own body. I mean, your body is the master of you. If you want to be healthy, listen to your own body. Okay, so I was talking about the fact that I had tooth pain and that I ate calcium. Okay, right. So my short-term memory is working good now, much better than it used to. So I ate calcium today already, and it seems like that problem is less painful, which is surprising, because I did chew something when I was eating. And maybe I have more other pains right now, so that pain's not as obvious. I'm not sure, but I feel good right now, so I wouldn't say that's true. I think I'm actually better now that I've eaten. So I will be trying to get my matcha tea soon after this, I think, but I can't do it because my stomach's full now. All I ate was like maybe 8 ounces, 6 ounces, 8 ounces of chili, and then I had. And I don't eat breakfast cereals ever. That's never going to happen, because I know that that's not good for me. So, you know, it's wrong. Just like bread, I don't eat bread either, because I know it's too concentrated, as the carbohydrates are too concentrated. Same with sugar, it's too concentrated, right? I mean, that's the problem. But, I mean, sugar is far worse probably than those things. But not than bread. Bread might be worse than sugar. Bread is bad. That's another thing we need to talk about, but I don't think it's as bad as sugar, because it doesn't spike your blood sugar, because it's a carbohydrate that has to be digested, right? So it can't be as bad, but it's very bad. It's extremely bad, and still not nearly as bad as sugar, but it's very bad to eat bread. Your body doesn't know what to do with it because it's too concentrated. You know, I mean, stone ground bread or something like that would be far better. I think that's acceptable, because you're not grinding it up really fine and you're not making it white. The white flour is bad because it's refined. Even though it might be better for your teeth, I've heard, the white bread. Actually better for dental health, but it's just bad, period. Just don't eat. I wouldn't eat bread at all. There's so many other things you can eat. And what I eat is yogurt and fruit with yogurt. So then I eat always fruit with yogurt, usually. I don't eat yogurt by itself, but I don't eat the flavored yogurt that they sell. It's always got to be plain yogurt. And I found some Balkan yogurt. Well, they always had it, and I tried it once before. But they didn't have the 5% Greek yogurt, so I got the Balkan yogurt, which tastes different, but it's higher in fat. It's 6% fat, milk fat, which is instead of 5, I used to get 10. I wanted 10% milk fat, but they're not selling that right now in my store. I could probably get that somewhere else. Maybe I can order it on Amazon, actually. But I got the 6% now in the Balkan, and the higher the fat, the better, I believe, for milk fats, for eating something with vitamin K2 and with vitamin D. You want high fats in your milk. It's better. But then if you eat a lot of it, you may gain weight. I don't know. It's possible. But the fats will also satisfy your hunger, makes it taste better. I'm trying to think, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, it enables you to absorb your fat-soluble vitamins, according to Dr. Gemnatis. Dr. Gemnatis is a cardiologist, but his patients, they're pre-diabetics sometimes, who become diabetics, and then they become heart patients, and then he does heart surgery on them. But he's very, very adamant about using prolonged fasting as a technique, and about not eating, you know, many different things that he doesn't like people to eat, like the high glycemic fruits, high glycemic index fruits. So he likes blueberries because it's not got a high glycemic index. I'm eating pineapple, which would not be one of his favorite, but it's not high glycemic. It's in the middle. And watermelon is one of the worst for the glycemic index, but I think glycemic load is another thing. But he doesn't talk about the load. But the glycemic load is how much total sugar you're eating, I think. With watermelon, it tends to be low. But with pineapple, it's very sweet, so it tends to be a higher load. So probably pineapple is a bad thing to eat. But I didn't feel any sugar effect when I ate that today, so that's good. If it were too much sugar, you might feel that in your body. That might be what diabetics feel. So I was saying before, the other day, I might be pre-diabetic, and that's why I can feel the sugar. But I think most people can feel when they eat too much sugar anyway. So what was I saying about the Balkan yogurt? 6% milk fat. And so I'm finding that will be my yogurt right now. And then I eat the other food I eat besides my soups or my chilies and things like that, or maybe some pasta, maybe some rice, maybe some, you know, potato soup, but maybe fried potatoes in the frying pan and things like that. Besides that, the only thing is matcha tea. That's what I eat, matcha tea all the time. I drink fizzy water, which comes from Quebec. What else do I drink or eat? I don't drink anything else other than water and matcha tea and my other water from my well. I don't like these flavored drinks, and I don't like sugar drinks. I don't like anything that they sell in a can or bottle. I won't drink it anymore. So that's another thing. Because with water in bottles, yes, right? But just only water. And it has to be good water before I'll drink it. I won't just drink water that comes from the Toronto area that is probably put into bottles out of the tap. I'm not going to drink that. So anyway, but I drink this matcha tea. I use cream to make it. I can use 18% cream, 10% cream, which is cow's milk, or I can use goat's milk, which is 3% fat. And I use those things all interchangeably to make my matcha tea lattes. And I use evaporated milk, carnation evaporated milk, or compliments, or whatever. Evaporated milk, which is, I think, 3% or whatever it is. Well, it's got to be more than that because it's evaporated. So it's very probably high in fat because it's evaporated milk. Yeah, percentage-wise. But it probably came from 3% and then was evaporated or something like that. I'm not sure. It's not skim milk anyway, so it's not. You can get skim milk, or you can get 2% evaporated, I think, or something like that, I think. But mine is the regular evaporated that I use. And then I dilute it with a bit of water. I add the matcha tea, put a bit of salt, and then I eat it. I don't put the maple syrup now, so I've eliminated that. And I chew my xylitol gum after, and I'm done eating with the matcha tea. So, I mean, my diet right now is pretty simple, and I never get tired of it right now. And if I do, I got great apples. These Macintosh apples that I just got are the best, just about the best I've ever had, as good as any I've ever had. They're really, really fantastic flavor, tart and sweet and everything that you could want in a Macintosh apple. So that's a great thing. So, and there's a lot of things like that you get. Oh, I eat my salad. That's right. My romaine salads with garlic and Parmesan or Parmigiano Reggiano, if I can get it. And I'll put, that has salt and nuts. Like I'm using cashews right now because I ran out of walnuts. And I use sunflower seeds. And I make it often enough that I can remember everything I put in it. I put garlic and a little salt. I put the Parmesan cheese. And then I put, the garlic, nut butter, the nuts and seeds. I put some almond butter. That's the nut butter I use. About a teaspoon. Different size depending on how big the salad is. And I mix it all together with olive oil and apple cider vinegar. And that's my dressing. But I mix it all together. A tiny bit of the apple cider vinegar, just like, maybe a tablespoon at the most. I don't know, teaspoon, a tablespoon or something. It's not much. And, not too much olive oil either. And then just toss it all up so it's not got olive oil collecting in the bottom of the bowl. And then that's the best salad. I don't use croutons. Sometimes I guess a few, but I don't like to use bread very much. And then I eat all these things. Well, eventually I'll have to get rid of the croutons too, probably, because it's bread, right? And I'm not that big against bread right now. I mean, not as I am against sugar. So, but I mean, these things change over time. And it's whether you can actually tolerate the way other people do things is an important aspect of whether you can be friends with them, right? Whether you can tolerate their things that they do that you don't do. So as I get more and more extreme, it maybe becomes harder to be friends with people. Or as I become more different, not extreme, but different from them. I'm not extreme at all. I'm less extreme than anyone, because I don't use these drugs. So that's the extreme thing. That's the most extreme thing you can do to your body, is to use something that's not food. That's the most extreme thing. And eating bread is extreme, because bread is a ground up flour. That's not natural. It's extreme if it's not natural. So think about that before you decide what to eat. So I mean, these are very, very good ideas to think about in things you eat. Little children, when you get older, you'll appreciate knowing some of these things that somebody who's lived longer than you has learned. Proverbs 24, do not be envious of bad men, and do not show yourself craving to get in with them. For despoiling is what their heart keeps meditating, and trouble is what their own lips keep speaking. By wisdom, a household will be built up, and by discernment it will prove firmly established. And by knowledge will the interior rooms be filled with all precious and pleasant things of value. One wise in strength is an able-bodied man, and a man of knowledge is reinforcing power. For by skillful direction you will carry on your war, and in the multitude of counselors there is salvation. For a foolish one, true wisdom is too high. In the gate he will not open his mouth. As for anyone scheming to do bad, he will be called a mere master at evil ideas. The loose conduct of foolishness is sin, and a ridiculer is something detestable to mankind. Let me go to a darker screen here if I can. How's that? I don't know. It's better, I think. Have you shown yourself discouraged in the day of distress? Your power will be scanty. Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those staggering to the slaughter. Oh, may you hold them back, in case you should say, look, we did not know of this. Will not he himself that is making an estimate of hearts discern it? And he himself that is observing your soul know, and certainly pay back to earthling man according to his activity? My son, eat honey, for it is good. And let sweet comb honey be upon your palate. In the same way, do know wisdom for your soul, If you have found it, then there exists a future, and your own hope will not be cut off. Do not, as a wicked one, lie in wait for the abiding place of the righteous one. Do not despoil his resting place, for the righteous one may fall even 7 times, and he certainly will get up. But the wicked ones will be made to stumble by calamity. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice, and when he is caused to stumble, may your heart not be joyful, that Jehovah may not see, and it be bad in his eyes, and he certainly turn back his anger from against him. Do not show yourself heated up at evildoers. Do not become envious of wicked people, for there will prove to be no future for anyone bad. The very lamp of wicked people will be extinguished. My son, fear Jehovah and the king. With those who are for a change, do not intermeddle, for their disaster will arise so suddenly that who is aware of the extinction of those who are for a change? He that is saying to the wicked one, no, these sayings, verse 23, also are for the wise ones. The showing of partiality in judgment is not good. He that is saying to the wicked one, you are righteous, the peoples will execrate him. National groups will denounce him. But for those reproving him, it will be pleasant. And upon them there will come the blessing of good. Lips will he kiss who is replying in a straightforward way. Prepare your work out of doors and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, you must also build up your household. Do not become a witness against your fellow man without grounds. Then you would have to be foolish with your lips. Do not say, just as he did to me, so I am going to do to him. I shall repay to each one according to his acting. I passed along by the field of the lazy individual and by the vineyard of the man in need of heart. And look, all of it produced weeds. Nettles covered its very surface, and its stone wall itself had been torn down. And so I proceeded to behold I myself. I began taking it to heart. I saw, I took the discipline. A little sleeping, a little slumbering, a little folding of the hands to lie down. And as a highwayman, your poverty will certainly come, and your neediness as an armed man. That was Proverbs 24. And you notice the one thing I do want to mention from that, there was one place where I interchanged two words, certainly will, or instead of will certainly. And then it said, the showing of partiality is not good, right? No, that was another one where I did stumble somewhere just before that part as well. Okay, look at this. Yeah. It's not going to be easy to find it. He certainly will get up. That might be it. Verse 16. The righteous one may fall even 7 times, and he certainly will get up. That I believe was where I interchanged it. Instead of it, what it really says, which means the very same thing, I believe, is that for the righteous one may fall even 7 times, and he will certainly get up. I don't think there's another place where the word certainly will occurs, but let's look for it. He will certainly get up. Let's look for will certainly in our JW library app, Bible. Will certainly, see if we can find it. Oh, it doesn't differentiate. with the word order. It doesn't. But I want, well, what I want is Proverbs chapter 24, though, to compare with that. Oh, it finds it a lot. Thing is, it's not in quotes. Maybe if I put it in quotes, it will work. Maybe I can put it in quotes and have it work. Find what's in quotes. No. It's a lot of occurrences. But not most of them. It searches the two words as will and certainly. It doesn't put them in order. So it can be anywhere in the verse. The word will could be one place in the verse. The word certainly could be at the end of the verse and the word will at the beginning of the verse, and it would still find it. So it's searching all of the occurrences of those words in all of the Bible, but they're not together in a specific order, which is what I want to search. If I want to search that, though, I have a reference Bible app. Now, do I still have that app on this computer? Maybe not right now. I don't have it. Okay. Yeah, I can get that app. No, I can't. Wait a minute. It won't run. It won't run because it's... Why was I able to run that? Well, I'll need to get the... there's an app that enabled... There was an app that enabled me to run... Well, maybe it'll run on Wine. Or this winery program I have, Wineskin. But let's talk about honey. I don't drink wine or eat honey. So let's talk about honey. Because honey's mentioned here in verse 13. It says, my son, eat honey, for it is good, and let sweet comb honey be upon your palate. Now, they're eating comb honey. It's not processed honey, where they separate the comb from the honey. That's significant, probably, too. Anything processed is dangerous, but I think now I know that honey is not good for me because there's too much sugar in it. And that is definitely dangerous for me because I'm overweight already. That's the thing. Yeah, when you have fat, that's right. If you're not overweight, you can eat sugar. It's not dangerous, right? That's the other thing. It's for people who are already overweight. Sugar is absolutely deadly because they're already pre-diabetic. So that's the problem, I think. That's the problem. That's the biggest problem with sugar. So, and fructose is a big problem because fructose is the sugar in honey. But the reason fructose is a big... I mention it for that reason, that it's the sugar in honey. But the thing is about fructose being bad. The reason it's bad is because fructose must go through the liver to be processed, and it produces glycogen in the liver. And if you're already full of sugar, if you've already filled up your liver with sugar, because if you're overweight, you're more likely to be eating too much, first of all. Because your body's telling you to eat more because you're overweight. Possibly that's true anyway. Well, you would think so. You have to feed more cells in your body. You have to feed all of your body, right? So it's logical. The bigger you are, the more you eat. So, but we want to learn more later about that. But the thing is, because I think it's much more complex than that, but when you're eating sugar, if you're trying to lose weight, you can't lose weight unless all of your glycogen in your liver has been used up to provide energy and burn. If you burned all of that in providing your body with energy, then you can start burning fat. So eating sugar is just going to fill up your liver with glycogen, especially fructose. It's dangerous. So I don't think that, there are other scriptures like we talked about yesterday. Proverbs 25 mentions, not to eat too much honey. Like, it's very specific. Eat what is sufficient for you. Right? It mentions that. Is it honey that you've found? Verse 16, chapter 25 of Proverbs. Eat what is sufficient for you, that you may not take too much of it and have to vomit it up. And then, 27, the eating of too much honey is not good. and for people to search out their own glory, is it glory? But maybe as you get older, or if you're more obese, then honey is possibly not good. That's something to think about. Definitely, the craving for sweets is a big problem, because even eating diet, even drinking a diet cola, is going to make you eat more. These diet drinks are just a complete sham too. They're not sensible. That's why, that's another reason, but that's not the only reason why I don't drink anything in cans or bottles. You can't trust these sweeteners. You can't trust the other things they put in these beverages. You just can't trust any of it, and you definitely can't trust even sugar. Natural sugar can't be trusted to be healthy. It's not. In fact, it's the opposite. We know it's not healthy. It's not a matter of trust. It's actually not healthy. When you're younger and less obese, I think it's you're not as tempted by sugar, right? So, yeah, I was talking to, that's right, a very pleasant person, gentleman at the post office, who, I don't think that he's obese at all. I think he's more like I was when I was young, and he's quite a bit, quite a lot younger than I am. So he doesn't have a problem with sugar. But the thing is, I think it's possible that as you get older, the sugar will have its repercussions on you because you ate it when you were younger. So I don't think we can say that young people can eat sugar. I'm not sure, or that thin people can eat sugar. I don't think we can say that. But they need to. Every one of us needs to have the ability to enjoy our food, and that's really important, I think, to enjoy our food. So I'm not saying we need to deny ourselves enjoyment of finding good foods. I enjoy my food immensely. I'm just avoiding sugar because I know it's actually poison. That's all. So this is Word Green. It's September 24th, 2022, 16:01 hours. Bye for now.